Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everybody, welcome to the session live from Modern Times. The Loma Land Fermentorium is where we're at, San Diego, California. My name's Justin Crosley. I'm your host today. My co-host, as always, at least on this tour, is Beardy.
Hi, Justin.
One word, one name, the beard.
You're real creative with those nicknames.
Yeah, the older I get, the better I get at that, I think. Today we are at, like I said, Modern Times, and with my good friend Garrett Marrero, who's the new owner of Modern Times, along with his new company, Craft Ohana.
Yep, Craft Ohana, absolutely. That's our family, if you will, of craft beer and other beverages.
Which we're going to dive into, because Garrett has been, since I've known him, has slowly, and sometimes not so slowly, been building an empire. And I've both, and on the shows recently, I've both been proud of you and talking you up and also making fun of you a little bit for this like, Garrett is going to control the world eventually, is my theory.
I'm prepared for more fun. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's coming.
So we're going to talk about all that. And then helping facilitate this today, is my new friend, Kelsey Weiss, is here. Back on the mainland, Kelsey.
Yep. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for being here and for having us and for setting this up for us. It's super nice to meet you. Kelsey, I know you listen to the show, so that's fun for me. I can make inside jokes that Garrett won't get, but you will.
Yeah.
So that's cool, right?
She'll fill me in. But
now, Kelsey, you were you lived on Maui, though, prior to moving back for Modern Times?
Yep. I was on island for about 5 years, market manager of Maui and Big Island. Got to meet Beardy over there and give him a brewery tour once.
Yeah. Made me feel extra special.
Beardy, will you move that mic just a little bit up toward? Yeah, there we go. Hers? A little more. Right about there. Let's try that.
Keep settling.
Yeah. I can edit this all later. All right. Excellent. Well, thanks for having us, Kelsey. Yeah,
I'll tell you, though. Yeah. I was on a trip when I got the news. Kelsey emailed me and said she was going to be applying for our West Coast sales position. And I immediately threw my phone down. I was like, no.
Absolutely
this is unacceptable.
Not. Yeah.
And then I realized there couldn't be someone that any better to represent Maui Brewing on the mainland, because she brings the love and the passion that I always say you can't teach passion. And so to bring that here to the mainland and really grow as we started then acquiring Modern Times into her position now, I'm very proud of Kelsey. So
thank you, guys.
She's gonna cry.
And you're from? Are you from here originally, Kelsey?
No, yeah. Santa Barbara originally. I went to San Diego State, and then moved over to Island, and then yeah, got into the Craft Ohana for life. So
okay. Yeah, for life. Excellent. Now, Garrett, you are originally from San Diego.
Yep, born and raised. I was born at Mercy Hospital, graduated Poway High. Literally, like my sister's class and one of the guys, original founders of Blink, were in my high school, Poway High.
Right.
Yeah, and they're playing tonight. So, and you can get MT pills all through the show tonight and tomorrow. So,
oh, no kidding!
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
The stadium?
Yeah.
Is that not a normal? You're not always there. Is it just for Blink?
We are now.
Oh, okay.
No, we are now there as a staple. So we're pretty excited to have MT pills on, and yeah,
amazing. All right, I do want to thank our sponsor real quick, More Beer, who brings you this show and every show we do. You can go to morebeer.com, get everything you need for home brewing and wine making and coffee making and you name it. More Beer, like Garrett, does a little bit of everything. So go check them out at morebeer.com. All right, so I want to dive right into the good stuff. So, Garrett, we've had you on the show before to talk about Maui.
Yep.
And Maui has obviously been growing since, you know, from a small-ish brew pub in Lahaina, mm-hmm. right, to now the production brewery in Kihei to, I don't know how many, you have a location on every island, I think?
Not yet, yeah. So going back to 2005, we did about 300 barrels of beer. So by comparison this year, our combined Craft Ohana will be about 130,000 barrels. So certainly substantial. We have two locations on Maui, two on Oahu for Maui Brewing. And then, of course, we have our three locations here in San Diego, North Park, Encinitas, which is our restaurant, as well as Loma Land here where we're enjoying some beers.
And Loma Land is the main brewery for Modern Times?
Yeah, it really is the only brewery. I mean, we have Kurtz, which we went to down the street for our special projects.
Yep.
It was largely barrels, but and cold brew production, but this is the only production brewery for Modern Times currently.
Okay. How much of the 130 is sold in Hawaii?
So, that's a great question. I think this year it'll be about 80-ish, 85,000 barrels will be Maui, of which about 75% stays in Hawaii.
Okay.
Now, as we continue to grow, more production comes from the mainland for the mainland, but not shipped back to Hawaii. So we're really trying to focus on, you know, brewing our beer, in Hawaii for Hawaii. And, you know, we have such an opportunity on the mainland that we're, you know, starting to brew both here at Modern Times and partner facilities.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
So are you now brewing Maui beer on the mainland?
Absolutely.
You are.
Absolutely. Here it comes.
We have to talk about this. So here's what I love that to learn that you're from San Diego, because when I met you, I'm like, oh, he's Hawaii guy. You're so into the culture there and into the beer being made there.
Yeah.
And you've always said to me, you know, Maui beer has to come from Maui.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Of course, now we've known each other for going on 20 years or whatever. I see in the news, I don't even hear it from you. Yeah. I see in the news you buy Modern Times, which was somewhat of a struggling situation for them. Mm-hmm. And I immediately go, oh, he's brewing Maui beer on the mainland. So tell me. And now you tell me you are.
Yeah. You know, so I think a couple things. One, in my youth, I might have said we should never do these things.
Yeah.
those would have been, what I meant to say would have been, if you're going to do them, you got to be honest about it, right? And
then
we all know there are brands out there that look like they're from a place, but they're not actually from that place and have no real investment there. And I think that's what I really always strived for, was that Maui Brewing wanted to have the integrity in the sense of place. So when we say it's brewed in Maui, that can should be from Maui.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to leave confusion that we're going to list 15 different cities on the side of the can.
Okay.
You know, and let's be honest, 20 years ago, we were both very different people. And,
you
know, when I'm brewing 300 barrels a year, the idea that I'd somehow be distributing across the world or mainland even alone, that was just like not even on the horizon,
totally.
Right? But as we've evolved and, you know, I mean, even the last few years, the world changed dramatically. And the choice literally became, do we even sell Maui on the mainland or do we make it there? Because those are the only two choices left.
Okay.
With the way COVID wrecked Hawaii and logistics and shipping and costs, it just would have been, you would never have been able to sell the beer at the price it needed to sell for.
That makes sense.
To ship it from Hawaii to here. And beers like OMG Hazy, Bixwell IPA, they want to be fresh. So brewing them here in a place that is our house, as part of our Ohana, that really does make sense. And we are always open and honest about where all the beer is coming from. And that sets us apart.
And of course, I can say it, you don't have to. You know, we all know that Kona is not made in Kona or from Kona or cares about Kona, right? So they're not a sponsor or anything, so I'm allowed to say all that shit. So I do like that you're saying, we're just going to be honest about it. It's still Maui beer. It's still the beer that we designed and that we made, but you're not going to put like brewed in Maui on the cans that come from here.
Right? True. Yeah, and I'll tell you, our accounting team, sorry, our marketing team, our, you know, everybody is really big on making sure that we're transparent and not giving any idea that the can might have been from there. So even like if you come to Hawaii, at the top of our cans it says Island Brewed.
Nice. Yep.
We removed that from the cans that are on the mainland, even though it's just really a marketing tagline and it still has your origin. We removed that because we didn't want anyone to think, oh, this can's from the island.
Right.
You know, we really wanted to make sure that we're go above and beyond. We're beyond reproach.
Yep.
In that regard. So because craft beer is about integrity and a sense of place, and I think we want to celebrate that.
And the headquarters of your company, of Craft Ohana, is still on Maui.
Still Hawaii, absolutely, very much so. So, you know, we're blessed that we have a great team here at Modern Times and in Maui. And, you know, together we continue to grow our platform that is Craft Ohana.
Okay. All right, I want to dive into how you ended up acquiring Modern Times. But first, Kelsey, can you tell us what's in our glass and describe this beer for us?
Yeah, absolutely. This is MT Pils we have here. We recently rebranded it from the previous version called Ice. So 100% Pilsner malt, we have Hallertau, Blanc, and Saaz, but we dialed down the bitterness a lot, so just super crisp, classic Pilsner, and it's now our new year-round core for Modern Times.
It's an excellent beer.
Yeah.
It's about the second Pils I've had. I switched to your Helles too, just to try them side by side. And Beardy was like, "Oh, like which one do you like better?" And they're both just solid. I don't have a fave.
Yeah.
This is a
good
one.
pretty stoked to have this come out to Hawaii. So Modern Times will be launching in Hawaii, or relaunching, I should say, in Hawaii soon here, and we'll have MT Pils in 19-ounce cans. So.
Nice. And you'll brew Modern Times out there, I assume.
Eventually. Yeah. It's not right. We haven't even started that process just yet, but we are already brewing some of the Maui beers here. But Modern Times will make that jump at the appropriate time.
Okay, got it.
Was Hallertau Blanc always in ice as well, or is that something that you guys added for
this? I believe so. I think that we just dialed down the hop addition and in the bittering.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
Got some good Agwag behind it, too. So.
Sure, yeah. I like the Hallertau Blanc edition kind of mixed in with the very traditional Czech Saaz. It's a really nice, grapey kind of hop character to it.
It's great beer.
It's been really well received in the new version. So.
And I love the tall cans. What size can you say is going to be on Maui?
The 19.2s.
The 19.2s.
Yeah. We'll get, I mean, all sizes, but, you know, Maui, Craft Ohana, the only 19.2s currently come from Modern Times.
Yeah.
And so that's another benefit of us being together is that you're going to start to be able to see Maui Brewing Company 19.2s as well.
Right.
Brewed here. So we're excited about that.
19.2 is a good format. I used to make fun of it because it's so random, but it's just the perfect amount of beer.
Oh, totally.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
more is better with you.
Yes.
That's the perfect amount.
When it comes to a Pilsner, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about how you ended up here, right, with Modern Times. And I know that there's a ton of backstory about how Maui has grown, but several years ago, Modern Times, still to this day, but several years ago, super strong brand, growing rapidly, locations from here up to Oregon, right? In fact, we sold quite a lot of it at the Hop Grenade.
Yeah.
During COVID, if we got Modern Times in, it was gone in a day. And then the brand ran into some trouble. I think the company ran into some mismanagement and kind of maybe growing too fast. I don't know exactly what, but at some point, they end up literally on the auction block. Mm-hmm. And this is about the time that you arrive.
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago was a year that we were sitting in the auction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you hear about this brewery coming up for auction. You probably had ideas already like, hey, I'd love to have something back where I'm from to help Maui grow. And you see that Modern Times, who has great facilities, comes up for auction. And you just immediately go, that's for me?
Let's do it. It was a little... And it stepped back a little further. So where June was the auction, we had already been in the picture since January prior. So, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, I was one of those people like COVID was, it was there, whatever, let's deal with it. How do we come out like a rocket ship as opposed to just survive, right?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in survival, so I wanted to thrive. So we spent a lot of time figuring out what were the moves we needed to make to continue to grow our company. And we put it out into the ether that we said, look, we're going to be very open and honest that at some point we're either going to be acquired or we're going to acquire a brewery.
Okay.
It's going to go one of two ways if we want to continue to brew for mainland production.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no, it was unsustainable to do it in Hawaii and ship across the pond.
Okay.
So we put that out into the ether, and like 3 weeks later, I get a call. I'm landing in San Diego, and I'd had a dinner the night before with someone who was looking at a West Coast brewery. And I asked that person to punt it to me since they weren't going to be moving through with it. And I had no idea it was Modern Times at the time. But I get in the Uber, listening to my voicemail, and I had to sign an NDA. And I was here like an hour later.
Okay.
Meeting with the kind of interim CEO, Jenny Briggs. Fantastic lady. So yeah, that was January. Fast forward to June.
Yeah.
We were what they call the stalking horse bidder. And then we got beat out by a lot in the auction. We knew what it was worth, but the guys we were against, the other two qualified bidders, as we all know, took it up to a place that they weren't even willing to buy it.
So did you bid what it was worth, or did you bid below what you thought it was worth?
We bid what it was worth.
Yeah.
And then I will admit that I may have gone above and beyond where I was supposed to.
Okay.
Because you could just see where they were going with it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, might as well get them some more money. And I never expected to get the football back. Which I then did, but we were able to renegotiate, or as we call in the M&A world, I've learned, is the retrade.
Okay.
So we retraded the deal in September and then closed.
So you were like second or third place in the first bit round of bid.
Third
place.
Yeah. Third out of three.
And the first bid a crazy amount. What was the amount that they bid?
So it got bid up to $21 million.
Okay.
Yeah. Started at 7.62, which was the bid that we set the price at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we set that price.
They went up to 21.
Yeah.
And then, so they won, right? And so legally now it goes, okay, this is your brewery.
Yeah.
And they backed out of that.
Well, so it was really interesting because technically the winning bid was 20.1.
Okay.
Although if you were actually at the auction, the person who came in second actually bid more, and it was supposed to be high bid.
Yeah.
So there was this debate and ended up being like a 3 week long lawsuit after it.
Between those two. And at this point, are you like at home like, well, too bad?
Yeah, we were on to other deals. We were looking at other breweries.
Okay.
And you know, I was deciding that, you know, maybe we don't need to do this. You know, something else will come along, and you know, like, I've got a great team, and my lifelong dream of wanting to work 4 days a week could maybe be realized.
Yeah, yeah. I love that dream.
Maybe.
I have to say, it was an emotional roller coaster for all of us all summer long. I remember I was working in Vegas market, and I found out from the news that we were placing the stalking horse bid, and being, you know, majority of my time in San Diego too, was just over the moon to be working with the brand and just everything they said, you know.
That was hard too, because I couldn't even share with you what was happening. I was like, strict NDA.
Wow.
I was like, we got it. We did it. We got it.
Yeah.
Was Modern Times always going to auction, and you just made the first bid because of your discussions in January?
So our discussions in January leading up, they were looking for the stalking horse bidder. And the stalking horse bidder in this process basically is the person that sets the base price.
Okay.
So that you kind of weed out the chaff, if you will. And you make sure that it's and you define the rules too. So you get to not only set the base price, but you get to set the rules by which everybody else has to play.
So it is a bit of an advantage.
You are playing chess.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, it comes with first rights of refusal. It comes with breakup fees. So, you know, fast forward to June. Actually it was July 1st. I'm literally hopping on a plane to go to a beer festival on Big Island. And I get a call from the lawyer. You're never going to believe this. You know, the other brewery who won just didn't close, and it's now back to you.
Amazing.
And I was expecting that day to get a check for a fee that was like a pretty nice fee for having been the stalking horse bidder. So while I'm expecting to be liquid, I was not. I was like,
now they're waiting for a check from you.
They're like, hey, no, it's tea. And it's to me at the price that I promised I would never go to. So
it wasn't at the price. It wasn't at your original bid.
No, it was at the backup bid. So we agreed to be backup bidder.
Okay.
At a price of 15.3.
Okay.
So more than double, more than double what we had paid, or we had set the price at. We felt that 12-ish range would have been a top bid for us.
Yeah.
But seeing that the way they were bidding, I was like, well, we might as well help out Modern Times and you know, bid it up, and I want to see where this goes.
I see.
And so then our backup bid is what we had to honor until we retraded, and we ended up at 10.
At 10, okay.
This is all public information. Okay. This is not for self-aggrandizing. This is
understood.
Just all
understood. Yeah, that's why I'm asking you. And, yeah, I read a lot of this also, but I did wanted to hear it from you also because of the drama unfolding and, like, how that felt. Because in the end, then, even though it was a bid higher than you ever wanted to go, to me, it's ended up looking like a bargain.
Yeah.
It ended up looking like you really came out on top.
We ended up lower than we were willing to pay.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah. At the retrade.
Yeah.
So it worked out in everybody's favor for sure. And, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of my teammates here at Modern Times, but, you know, from the stories that I heard, the winning bidder was not well received here.
Okay.
And I don't want to cast any aspersions on them either, but it just wasn't going to be a match culturally. And when it came out, when we took some time to before we confirmed our bid, there were some things in the background happening. And when we confirmed it, everyone, I think, felt a sense of relief that it was us. Because, you know, we've spent a lot of time in this industry building our reputation and, you know, what craft means to us and how we conduct ourselves in the industry. I mean, you've seen us grow from, you know, when I was 26 when we started.
And yeah, man.
You've seen us since that day. So, you know, we've always been really keen on making sure that we're transparent, that we have our sense of place, and that we're all about quality and innovation. So, you know, how we conduct ourselves in the market, I think, is what gave a lot of relief to our teammates here.
Yeah. During that whole process, was Modern Times ever closed? Did they stop production? Were the doors locked at any point?
So doors weren't ever locked. Production never really stopped.
Okay.
But production was restrained by capital. Right?
Yeah.
The right hops, like, you know, I'll be honest, I mean, before we came in, the hops that were on the can weren't necessarily what was in the beer.
Wow.
And production volumes, and it was like, okay, we got enough money for cans, but we don't have enough money for malt, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Just balancing.
And it was just that, you know, capital constrained situation that when a company finds themselves there, it's a painful spot.
Right. Wow. So for you then, okay, so you're the low bid, you don't win, you find out you do. You have to call your banker and say, hey, so remember that 7 I talked about?
Yeah.
It's not that anymore.
Yeah.
How does that go?
Well, so if 7 came about for an interesting reason. One, we want to look really smart, so we came up with 7.62 because it sounds like we plugged all this data into this crazy algorithm and it spit out this is the precise dollar amount that this company's worth.
Because love it.
My gut would have been to be like, 6 million.
Okay.
Even numbers. I love even numbers. Yeah. But 7.62 sounded better, and I
sounds like ChatGPT spit it out.
Right,
like it's very, totally. You know.
We sounded smart for our first M&A deal, and all it was is like it's a 7.62 is the millimeter equivalent of a 308.
Okay,
that's all it was. It was like I couldn't bid 308, so I went with 7.62.
Okay,
and it felt like a fair number given the position they were in and how much capital. So 7.62 still meant like $18 million raise for CapEx, for working capital, for all the other things.
Okay.
So, you know, but we felt comfortable in that 12 range. We ended up at 10.
Yeah.
And then we did call our bankers. So we were in a strong cash position. You know, God rest his soul, Russell Adkins, our former CFO who passed during COVID out of the blue. You know, we had set ourselves up for a storm. We knew there was going to be a recession.
Okay.
We didn't know pandemic. So we were in a good, healthy cash position. So we were able to move forward on those deals without having to go to the bank.
Wow.
And part of our retrade included a financing package from the selling bank.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get it right every time. So this is the other thing. This is the other thing I make fun of you about. I don't make fun of you. I say, when people ask my advice about the industry, because I've been doing this for a little while, right? I say, I don't know, ask Garrett. Like, he's the one you ask about how to do things. I think that the moves you make are savvy, they're smart. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of that, because you've also diversified so much, so many different products.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you now sell maple syrup, for God's sake.
Like, I learned that today, actually.
He accidentally sells maple syrup.
Totally.
All right, you're listening to The Session live from Modern Times at the Loma Land Fermentorium, and we'll be right back with Garrett Marrero.
All right.
Welcome back to The Session. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We are still live from the Modern Times Loma Land Fermentorium, the the main Modern Times Brewery. The Modern
the,
Times.
The Modern Times Brewery.
Brewery. How many barrel brew house you have here?
It's a 30 here.
30. Oh, yeah. It's a big old brew house. You got
manual.
Yeah. 30 barrel manual brew. It looks like a manual brewery, you know. It's a very hands-on place you got here.
These guys work very hard.
I can tell.
Men and women here are crushing.
So that kind of brings me to my next question, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer. In previous shows, made fun of you a little bit. I was like, he's not keeping Modern Times brand. He's buying a Maui brewery. But then I kind of sat down and rethought that. And we talked about it at the beginning of the show. The brand is super strong.
So, absolutely.
But I am asking, I don't know what the future holds, and maybe you don't either. But you really do have the intention of keeping Modern Times as its own brand.
Absolutely. Craft Ohana exists to bring the two families together. We initially even looked at Maui Modern Times being the company. We said, oh, well, which one goes first?
Yeah.
And what do you tell the team that's second? How do they feel?
Right.
And then we said, well, if we're buying one brewery, who knows what the future holds? Maybe maybe in the future there'll be another brand or a cidery or something else. So we said, well, let's create Craft Ohana. I got to give that one to Junk, our chief commercial officer.
Nice.
He came up with the name. It stuck because it gives us the platform to really be our version of Canarchy, right? Where Canarchy, we had that vision, right? Craft Ohana really kind of speaks to how Maui works and how Hawaii works.
What does it mean?
Ohana is generally family.
Okay.
Right? And so we're all kind of one team, one dream. But, you know, we're all individuals as well. And bringing the best of what the brands have together, that's what Craft Ohana is meant to celebrate.
Okay.
And absolutely. The Modern Times brand isn't going anywhere. I'd be completely honest with you. I think the way California's government has set things up to do business here, we would not have picked California as the place to open a brewery. You know, but Modern Times is such a great team, such a great brand, and of course, amazing beer, that we're like, that has legs. Like, we can bring that back. I mean, you got to remember, in 2018, Modern Times was bigger than Maui Brewing.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. By quite a bit.
Okay.
By like 20,000 barrels.
Okay.
So we just saw the opportunity to bring two great brands together under one roof.
Yeah.
But it is absolutely not going anywhere. True story, I did not like Hazy IPA when it first came out, especially. And I was gone for like 3 weeks, and I come back, and we had this Hazy IPA on tap at Maui Brewing. I was like, we didn't brew a Hazy? And it was a collaboration we had done with Modern Times.
Oh, yeah.
And so our Maui's first Hazy was a collab with Modern Times. While I was out of town, Kim was very artful in her scheduling.
Nice.
And I tasted it, and I was like, oh, God, I hate it because I love this beer. And it really changed my mind about what Hazy IPA could be.
Yeah.
And here we are today brewing Maui Hazy IPA at Modern Times.
I love it. Shout out to Kim. She's a wonderful, wonderful person and brewer also. Okay. So, and here's the other reason I sort of backed off on thinking that you were going to kill the brand. It actually provides you so much more identity than Maui has. Like, it's a different brand and you do different things. And I started to think like, yeah, actually, it's like another creative outlet for you. You can let Modern Times do what they do that doesn't fit what Maui does,
sure.
Right? They are, like you said, they're very different breweries, very different brands, even though now you're making them the same family.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Like, we were at the Barrel Room today, right? And like, the barrel aging that they do here, the different uses of adjunct that made Modern Times super popular, the membership program that gets those beers, like, it's a very different animal that allows you something else to do.
Absolutely.
You did see the luau happening in the parking lot, Justin, right?
So you gotta bring it together a little bit.
Oh, okay. That's the Ohana part.
Yes.
Well, you know, we saw exactly that. You know, what Modern Times was known for were not the beers that Maui's known for.
Yeah.
Now, Maui diversified into beyond beer much earlier than most, right? We, even back as 2013, started changing laws to be able to not only brew beer, but distill spirits, make seltzer, we have a wine license so that we can make cider, you know, all the things, RTDs, you name it. You know, diversifying into more beer was kind of like, well, we do a hazy, but Modern Times has such great hazies. And then we don't do really the imperial stouts. And I mean, you got like, you know, I know we're going to try the final course later, but, you know, with Kyle and the special projects team, what they're doing over at Kurtz, unreal stuff that we don't even have. And like I said, learning that we even bottle and sell maple syrup once a year because of our maple syrup beer. I was like, that totally makes sense, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then you already started scheming about how you're going to add on to that by putting the spirits.
Right, because we have Kupu, our distillery. The synergies between the two, I mean, any brewer that does barrel aging, like the bane of your existence is getting fresh and still wet barrels that will hold liquid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now that we own a distillery in Hawaii, so being able to send those barrels over here to make cool new shit for craft beer drinkers that love the brands, that's really the ultimate, right? Because we can pass back and forth and feed off of that energy to a mutual success for everyone. And you know who really wins in that? The craft beer drinker.
Right.
You could get to geek out between a team of really talented brewers, distillers, dare I say, seltzer makers and others, you know, to really do some cool shit.
Aren't you going to do like non-alcoholic beer too out of Maui? You're doing everything.
We have one we've developed. Okay. We hit a rough patch with the being able to produce it in mass, and so we're working on that. But we did a non-alcoholic Maui lime lager.
Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you, this was last August. We had it on tap for the whole month, and I drank nothing but Maui lime lager NA.
Nice.
Fantastic beer. Definitely looking forward to having that back.
See, those are the things when people ask me what's next, what's the future, I go, I don't know. Go ask Garrett.
Non-alcoholic seltzer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No kidding. That's
where it's at. Non-alc seltzer.
All right. Tell us about the beer that's in our glass right now, which is Maui Brewing Sunshine Girl Golden Ale.
Oh, so Sunshine Girl. Well, we should turn this over to you for you're going to be selling it. And what's the announcement we have to make today?
Here, hang on, Kelsey. There you go.
Am I here?
Yep. Yep. Okay. You're here.
So this is actually coming to Southern California beginning of July for the first time. So we're pretty excited about that.
Nice.
This was one of our limited releases on island for, God, I don't know.
2019, I think it came out?
Yeah. Or? And then I was just looking up in 2021, January, that's when we first found out it was going to be a year-round core. Mm-hmm. So by popular demand, really, it was one of the best tasting beers in our tasting room. So year-round core in the state of Hawaii and now available in July all over California. So
nice.
Yeah.
There's no fruit in this beer.
It's no.
That's all, because it's fruit forward, but it's from the hops.
Yeah. And that's
crazy.
So it's Cal Ale, 4.8%. I believe it's Laurel, Citra, and Eldorado.
Okay.
Heavily dry hopped, a lot of character there. So really just crushable, a lot of flavor, and a really good beach beer. So
it's a great beach beer.
Yeah. Well, that's something too for us. Like, you know, believe me, as you've been making fun of me for 18 years, so have all my friends.
Yeah.
Say, oh, well, why are you guys even doing a lager? Everybody wants double IPA. You know, and that was when we started with Bikini Blonde Lager as a core for us. You know, and now shift to almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
And the average craft beer drinker, yes, you're going to crush your Imperial Stouts now and again, but you want a beer you're going to drink two or three of. So, you know, we've got beers that range from, say, 4 to 5% that still are full flavored, deliver everything you want in a craft beer.
Yeah.
But you can drink a few of them.
Totally.
Yeah.
So has the long game I told you so been your MO for your entire life?
No, I just,
recently.
And you know, and just to your earlier point, it's like I was never looking to build an empire. That wasn't the goal I set out. I mean, I grew up as a poor kid, like put myself through college, like everything we've done, we worked very hard for. But my goal wasn't building an empire. My goal was building a strong foundation that our company can weather any storm that's going to get thrown at it. This is not the first down market we've been in. You know, we looked at the Great Recession was our first really down market. And we looked at that as an opportunity to how do we build our company then. And that's when we launched Cans. So, you know, we leveraged opportunities as opposed to sit there and be like, woe is me, the world's ending, right? And if you look at the best companies in this world, I mean, talking the billion and trillion dollar companies today, they were all started in bad markets and bad times, you know? And I think that's something that Maui Brewing wears as a badge as well, is like, we scrapped it together. And so like, there's not a person in our company who hasn't worked a lot to get where we are.
Yeah. So. And then that takes a culture that you create too, to get all of that, all those people on board and in the right positions to help prepare yourself for to be the rocket ship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what that sound was that you heard, Beardy, that I haven't heard in a while? Hopefulness.
From who? Me?
No, not from you. God.
Oh.
No.
I was going to say,
Am I feeling? Oof, I'm no, from, running a fever
from Garrett, and I mean that genuinely. Actually, even though it sounds sarcastic, that you know, because craft beer is, you know, some people say sometimes that it's dead or that it's stagnant or. But even forgetting about craft beer for a second, just getting through what we've been through for the last couple years, and that there's a recession constantly looming, there's just a lack of hopefulness, and you sound so excited and hopeful and like ready for what's next, and it's a little bit rare right now. I'm definitely giving you kudos here. It's nice to hear.
I appreciate that, and it's true, but I'd be lying if I said that just those thoughts never enter your mind. I mean, we're human,
yeah.
But I think everybody in this room is more likely to think about how bad things can be than how good they can be.
Yeah.
And it's just a human condition, right, that we're dealing with right now. And we have the most divided country, in which we all say this every year, the most divided we've ever been. And,
yeah,
you know, beer's going down, seltzer's up. Well, now seltzer's flat, right?
Yeah.
You got all these different things. So I really think it just comes down to, you know, approaching the problems with, like, a clear mind and, you know, really looking at what the potential can be. Like, why worry about how bad it can be? Because, yes, you could just stop doing your job and everything's going to fall away.
Yep.
But I'm going to fight to the bitter end,
yeah,
right? And I think that with the team that we have, with the brands that we have, with the beers that we have, we're set up to win.
Yeah.
Our biggest problem to date after the merger, even before merger, was not enough beer to meet the demand for our brands.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great position to be in. So, yeah, I'm super positive about the future. But I have that cautiously optimistic part of me as well.
As you should.
But, you know, like I said, I grew up broke, and so I'm happy to be a scrapper.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
So then, aside from being a scrapper, this is kind of a personal question. You're talking about focus and, like, not running away from the problem and just letting it fall apart. How do you get that focus, like, on a personal level? Are you a meditator? Are you, is yoga your thing? I mean this seriously. Like, how do you find focus like that?
So I'm not a meditator. I've tried, and yeah, I just can't shut my mind off.
Same.
Enough to, like, get somewhere. Yeah. I have learned a little bit about breathing exercises, which are helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I get in my head about, like, am I doing it right? So then I'm like, I forget it.
Yeah. Then you just commit breathing wrong.
You know, honestly, it's it really is just work hard, and, like, when you're done for the day, just be, as we say in Hawaii, you just got to be pow, pow, done.
Okay.
Stop for a minute, have a beer, relax, you know. The love of a good woman helps sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, just having good friends around all the time. You know, but ultimately, I think for me, like, if I need to shut off and get out of my head, it's not drinking beer, and it's working out. Like, I have to get a good workout in.
Okay.
I think, honestly, too, a lot of things we're seeing in society even right now is, like, just a lack of health, and not just physical, but also mental. But so much of your mental health comes from your physical health.
Yeah.
That if you just stopped for a minute and worked out and did, like, beet juice for 5 days, I'm telling you, you're going to be happier next week than you are today.
Right.
Because your body's going to feel better.
It makes sense.
And, I mean, we have to do it all the time and just, like, hit that pause button, and then you can get back to it.
But you're happier because you don't have to eat beet juice every day.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I love beet juice, but honestly, in our business, you better be cleaning out your liver. And
yeah,
that's a great way to do it.
It's a true story.
Yeah. I travel with my own personal juicer.
Excellent. Yeah, so I just wanted to ask that because, like you said, I do think there's so much unhealthiness, including mental health, in our industry, in every industry in the U.S. right now, in the Western world. So, yeah, that's just something I've kind of always thought about, how you gain that focus.
Yeah, and I love to cook. I mean, I love being with friends. I mean, but at the end of the day, you gotta separate yourself from what's stressing you out and go somewhere where you put your focus in. Like, you know, I learned to fly as well, and that's another place where I can. You're flying a plane, you can't think about the other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's a mental hazard if you're flying with your mind elsewhere.
Right.
So you need to be present, and that helps to kind of force the meditative state that I'm incapable of putting myself in naturally.
Yeah, I can't do it either. My shrink, he started to recommend meditating to me, and he goes, oh, no, never mind, you have ADD, that'll never fucking happen. So I gave that up really quickly.
Yeah.
But you do have to find things to focus. And then also, just since we're talking about health, I actually think that's part of why NA Beer is having this resurgence or surgence and might be the future, because people are, as much as we love our beer and our alcohol, right, we're starting to become a little more conscious of what it's going to do to us in the long term, right?
Sure.
Which is hard to be an alcohol producer and think about at the same time. So is that part of why you adopted maybe getting into non-alcoholic beer?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's part of it, certainly. But I think for me, too, it's just you're trying not to be all things to everyone, right? There's no way we can do everything. If what we're going to do has to be purposeful, and it has to make sense. But that fits a segment for us where when we started Maui Brewing, the idea was that we would offer beverages that people were drinking back home that they were coming to visit Hawaii, right? So let's offer you a local alternative of what you have back at home.
Okay.
That was the simple premise, right? So being able to offer something like an NA that's actually someone wants to drink, that makes sense for us, right? We want to keep that, you know, that better mousetrap concept, if you will, right? So you stay inside. Now, we support breweries like Athletic and others that make non-alc beers. You know, we're legal, but, you know, having our own in-house also makes sense.
Heck yeah.
So,
all right, let's do this. Let's take another quick break. We've got some more beer to try, and I think we're going to get to try some Kyle's beer before we end this show, too, right?
Sure,
we got to do that. Who runs the what's the program you called over there?
Special Projects.
Your Special Projects program over there. So we'll do that, plus some others. We're still here at Modern Times, the Loma Land Fermentorium. Hang in there. This is The Session, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Session. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today at Modern Times. We're at the Loma Land Fermentorium and having a great time talking to my friend Garrett, drinking some good beer. I think the beer in our glass right now, actually, before we get to the beer in our glass, let's talk about Modern Times is about to celebrate 10 years, a 10-year anniversary.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
You guys are celebrating that.
We are. You know, and I think this goes back to one of your earlier questions, like, is Modern Times going anywhere? Absolutely not. You know, we're leaning in and we're super stoked. On July 15th, starting at 2 p.m. here, we've got our 10-year anniversary party.
Nice.
You know, the entire crew's put together an awesome beer list. We got some of the Special Projects beers coming out as well. So highly recommend if you want something unique that you can brag to your friends that you got to have it and they didn't, be here July 15th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be here. The entire leadership team from Maui, we've got a few more people coming out as well. So we're pretty stoked.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I love that. And I didn't realize that Modern Times had been around for 10 years, too. They seem like such a... This is actually part of the power, I think, of the Modern Times branding.
Yeah.
It feels so young and modern.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's timeless, really. I mean, that and that's one of the things that attracted us was the branding, you know, where it's got this... Where it has this sense of timelessness.
Yeah.
Maui has a sense of geography and place.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So if you look at the places those fit, you know, between our brand families, we can really go anywhere. I mean, we have five different brands in our brand family. If you
Which
think
are?
About it. So Modern Times beer, Modern Times coffee.
Okay.
We have Kupu Spirits.
Yeah.
Maui Hard Seltzer and Maui Brewing Company.
Beer. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We also technically have six.
Maple syrup.
Island soda. Oh,
maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Maui maple syrup.
We just printed business cards. Now I got to add maple syrup purveyor.
Wow.
It's by the way, folks, it's literally, we learned this today, like we said, it's one barrel of maple syrup sold a year. Not very much.
Yeah.
But I think it would be hilarious if you added it to your card.
Totally.
Our demand just increased.
December's only.
Totally.
Yeah, but if you don't follow us yet, Modern Times beer, that's the best way to stay up to date on the events and such here as well. Of course, nobody goes to the web anymore, but you know, it's a last ditch. You could go there.
Or your social. Find it on your social.
Or find it on social media.
You're actually a big social media person because you not only have Maui Brewing's handle, you have Maui Garrett handle.
Yeah, that's me on the other side of my life.
But
you
travel a lot.
It's mostly travel, food, dog.
And dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still rescue pit bulls?
Well, I have one rescue.
Yeah.
We have one rescue, Louie, and he's a sweetheart. But I don't have any more dogs in the future right now.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we did have to put down one of our rescues not long ago, last week, Monday.
I'm sorry.
Peely. But pit bulls are the most loving dog you'll ever meet.
Yep. So. We just rescued one back home, too. Yeah. He's an old boy, but he's a good boy.
Yeah, same with Louie. He's an old boy, but a good boy.
Yeah. All right, tell us about the beer that's in our glass, which I think is it the first Maui beer canned on the mainland?
Yeah, so this is the first Maui beer brewed and canned here on the mainland, at Modern Times, I should say.
Yep.
So this is OMG, so our Orange Mango Guava Hazy IPA. It is OMG good.
It is.
I
very,
love
very
this
good.
Beer.
It's a Maui recipe or a Modern Times recipe?
So this is a Maui recipe that our COO and president, Scott Metzger, you know, had the idea for OMG because, you know, we were the first to use Pog in beer. As Pog is like OJ in Hawaii. It's passion orange guava.
Okay.
But, you know, as with coconut porter, often imitated, never duplicated.
Yeah.
So we had to evolve further past that. And so we said, okay, well, everybody's now doing Pog. What's next for us? So we came up with OMG, and James and Kim just knocked it out of the park with this beer. If you haven't had it, you must try it now. It is on tap here. Mm-hmm. It is now also a core year-round for us here on the mainland. And it has been the top-selling beer at all of the Modern Times tap rooms.
Wow.
Since we brewed it here.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It is an excellent beer.
I did see on the menu that it might be a coconut stout on the menu here.
Yeah.
You guys have come together as a team. Have you exchanged toasting techniques?
Toasting techniques? I don't. Not so much toasting techniques, but I think we did a first release of a beer with coconut right at the outset of our acquisition as well. Was it Lava Tones?
Lava Tones,
yeah. Mm. That was fantastic beer. But yeah, and I mean, this beer itself tells you exactly why Modern Times and Maui are great partners. We brought a flavor of the islands to a brewery that knows how to make hazy IPA, second to nobody.
Yeah.
And collaboration between the teams knocked it out of the park. So craft beer drinkers, this is what I mean when they win because of what we brought together, and that's in this glass here.
It's mm-hmm. so good.
Yeah. For sure.
And there's fruit added to this beer?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orange, mango, and guava.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is a delicious beer.
Right?
I'm not a fruit forward beer guy, but you could have actually told me, no, most of it's from the hops because it's subtle enough. Like, it's there, it's present, it's fruit-forward, but it's not sweet, right? And it's a good hazy.
And based on the last beer that we had that was all hops and still so fruit-forward, you know, going to this one, exactly, I would have believed you. Be like, yep, all hops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have it nailed.
Totally.
Did you say you were here on canning day for this?
Yeah, so I looked out from the office upstairs and I was like, oh, there's change in cans. And I noticed the Maui, like, it's pretty signature that KVT and our marketing team has this band at the top that's, you know, that's Maui from across the room.
Yeah.
And I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm seeing the changeover from like core Modern Times to core Maui Brewing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was just such a cool feeling because you don't realize how, although that may be a small piece, when you step back at things, like everything we had been through to that point was just like, oh wow, yeah, that's so cool. I didn't even, you know, you're so focused on getting everybody's payroll right and integrating the 401k and making sure all the real things, you know, happen. But then to see your beers come together too, we're like,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a proud Papa moment for sure.
Well, we talked about focus a little bit earlier, and one of the things that I have tried to be deliberate about is if you don't stop and celebrate the moments like and the milestones, it always is just what's next. Mm-hmm. Like, for a driven person, it always ends up being you just tell yourself, but what have I done for me lately? Like, what is my next thing? So if you don't, like, stop and enjoy that happened, it almost never happened. You're just moving on to the next thing.
Totally.
And so as a business owner, that is something I think people need you got to stop and do. And you're a fast-moving company, right? Like, you guys, I mean, your growth from, like, year one to year five was, you know, pretty nominal, right? Mm-hmm. But from like year five to now has been pretty damn rapid, especially since Kihei opened.
Totally. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a perspective. Year one to five, 320 barrels in year one. Year five, we did 12,000 barrels.
Okay.
So that's a pretty...
That's pretty good. Okay.
Good growth.
Yeah.
But then you look at like opening Kihei, we did 22,000 barrels 2012. We did... Or sorry, 2013. We did 44,000 barrels 2013
right.
or 14, sorry. So like doubled again. So doubling the volume at 22,000 barrels was a huge amount.
While also opening other brands.
Yeah, and other restaurants. And so we've grown on all sides of the business.
Sure.
Yeah.
So from a distributorship perspective, so like I haven't had Modern Times at the Hop Grenade in a little while.
Yep.
Right? And I don't think that it's not available up there, but it was less available.
Yep.
Is that something you're working back towards, getting back into all the markets too?
Not all the markets, but yes, your market.
Thank you.
It's coming. It's been supply chain. I think we talked about our can line issues earlier. There was, you know,
here.
A function of distressed cash flow situations mean that maintenance gets put to the wayside, right? If it doesn't have to get fixed, it doesn't get fixed, and you're certainly not preventing maintenance, right? Preventative stuff. So,
right.
You know, we've been battling a can line that's been down for largely for a couple weeks now. We've got technicians in this week. The entire team here has been working diligently to get that fixed and up and running. But that was a function of the way it was managed prior, right?
Sure.
Where
mm-hmm.
we put our money into, you know, equipment and maintenance and our people, and there just wasn't the money to do that before we took over.
Yeah,
so we'll get past that, and we'll be able to supply our wholesalers. We've largely united our footprint. There are some places we're in different houses, and you know, we either unable to come to terms or just didn't make sense to move.
Yeah.
There have been places where Maui moved into Modern Times House.
Yeah.
And there have been others where Modern Times moved into Maui's.
Okay. Mm. And so, are you still a distributor on Maui, bringing beer back and forth?
No longer. We did
okay.
shed one thing.
You
so,
shed.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
you have to
oh.
shed
Sometimes you
some
have
things.
To, yeah.
You do have to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, and I, this is...
You're getting lazy, Garrett.
Yeah. I'm not 26.
Yeah, right.
You know what it is you learn what you're good at.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and you know what? It's weird. The good thing, the things you're good at, are the things you actually like to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this is never going to take the credit for this, because it's like I get to sit here, but it's because you know people like Kelsey and Kyle and Cameron and Jake and all the people here and back in Maui that actually make it work. Mm-hmm. My job is to kind of put the business units together in a fashion that actually cohesively makes sense.
Sure.
They're the best at those jobs. I'm not mm-hmm. definitely not the best brewer here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could work on the can line better than I can work on the brew house.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. But putting the right people together to make those things happen, that's a skill set that I have.
Yeah.
And where we have a retail division, which is all our restaurants, mm-hmm. that's run by Chris Tebow and Jeff Martin, my partners on the restaurant division. They do that, right?
Yeah.
I run the, you know, the brands as a whole, and Scott is our president of the brewery division.
Yeah.
And oversees all brewing operations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then in both houses, we have Kim, VP of Operations Hawaii, Rob, VP of Operations California.
Okay.
So we have experts doing their jobs really well, mm-hmm. which make me look good, but
yeah.
it's because they're awesome.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like running a real company.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird. Yeah.
Right.
I used to try to do everything, and I realize I'm not good at all of it, for sure.
Yeah, I know. You gotta let it go and let people
yeah.
do what they're good at, like you said. Okay, before we bring in Kyle, director of special projects over there,
mm-hmm.
and we let Kelsey go, I just want to ask you, Kelsey, why move back to the mainland? Now, I know you're kind of from here, but Maui's pretty dope.
Hmm.
So I'm just... were you also excited about the Modern Times brand? Like, just walk me through the decision.
Yeah, well, I mean, working on island for 5 years is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and then just to take over more territory on the Southwest, like, was definitely a step up in my career.
Okay.
And, you know, just being an extension of Garrett, where he can't be all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then, it has its perks, the mainland, after living there during COVID, to be honest. So DoorDash
sure.
is really nice. Pumping my gas from not having to hold it the whole time. You know,
yeah.
little small things like that, I guess.
So I kind of wondered about, like, honestly, I was thinking about you and thinking about you coming back here. And I've been to Maui so many times. I just love it there. But I did wonder, since I'm only there for short times, like, island fever is kind of a real thing, right? So maybe after a little while, did you feel like, oh, I just... lean a little more freedom of the mainland? I don't know.
No, not really even.
Not that.
I mean,
okay.
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have great beer on Maui. We have beautiful beaches. I didn't really get an island fever per se, but yeah, I don't know. There's great Mexican food here, so
yeah.
I can't live without Mexican.
Yeah. Kelsey's being
yeah.
coy. Kelsey, I could tell, she wanted to grow in beer. Like,
yeah, okay.
this. Rewind to when Kelsey was a tasting room attendant and did our tours, right? She was our tour guide at Maui.
Okay.
And I used to love it because where my office is I don't have the office that's like ocean views. That's our restaurant division has that. I'm in the back and I can see tanks on all sides and then a tree outside my window. And I would hear Kelsey stop at the fermenters, our big outdoor guys, and she'd tell jokes that were just like dad joke to the max.
Yes.
And I would just laugh and like,
I
you know,
it.
I'm like, who is this girl? So I get to know her a little bit. She applies for the sales position. I was like, all right, let's get on Instagram. And I look at her Instagram, and this woman is sitting on the beach And the last post I saw from her was she's reading about yeast. You know, the okay. the BA publications.
Yeah, yeah.
They have
yeah.
water,
the Chris hops. White yeast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is Kelsey. And I was like, yeah, that's our girl.
Yep.
Can't Keats passion. That yeah. was absolutely what sold me on Kelsey beyond the personal side of things. But yeah, she yeah. wanted to grow, and now she's done that. She's accomplished that goal. So, and will continue to.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm here right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself back in Maui at some point?
I don't know. Maybe. Just I mean, I just go with the flow. I'm riding this wave that Garrett created, this tsunami. So I'm stoked on it. And yeah, I'm.
Maybe I'll once be, your I'll national be. Sales.
I don't know.
National sales.
Now we're talking. I don't know.
I mean, you did say you're a lifer. There's yeah. A, yeah. sounds like yeah. a lot of room to grow here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Craft Ohana, yeah. There's, mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting. So
absolutely.
I'll be around for it.
Love it. All right. Well, we've got one more beer to try in our glass. Let's bring Kyle over to
thanks,
talk
Kelsey.
To us about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelsey, and for taking care of us here. I appreciate it very much. Get to hang out afterward.
Like I said, I'm in good hands. They do it all well.
I'm so yeah. Whenever I email Garrett again, you just said this about how you put the right people in the right place. We'll email about personal stuff, but as soon as it gets to work, you tag on like the five people who know what they're doing, yeah. and then you're like, "Cool, I'll check you later."
Yeah.
And then Kelsey just takes care of everything. Yeah. It's really great.
I texted her on landing today. I was like, "So 4:45 at Loma Land, right?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so Kyle just sat down with us. We got to go check out special projects with him. Just a little while ago, the Special Projects Warehouse, which is just right down the road, looks to me like more beer in barrels than you know what to do with. But what do I know?
Yeah, truly, yeah. There's about 1,100 barrels there.
So many
barrels. So a lot to choose from.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which makes beers like this so exciting.
And you said that's kind of like a pared-down version of what you guys used to do.
Yeah, so at one point we were probably close to 1,600.
Wow.
But, yeah, no secret that we did close down some locations and lost some members of the league.
And, sure, okay.
And our membership program.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now we are culled down to just a measly 1,100.
I feel like that's still one of the largest barrel age programs in the U.S.,
yeah.
right?
I think so.
It's got to be up there.
Yeah.
It's here, you know, maybe New Belgium, like, I don't know what, but.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, New Belgium, Vinny.
Yeah, okay, like, Vinny, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah,
it's got to be up there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, tell us, what's the name of the beer, and tell us about the beer in our glass.
Okay, this is called Chaos Grid, the final course.
Nice.
So this one is, Chaos Grid in general is a blend of Imperial Stouts or barley wine or anything we have. This one's actually kind of unique. It's kind of rare that we actually use five different beer actual brands for a single Chaos Grid.
Okay.
Usually it's a couple of Modum Tones and then some of this, but this one actually has five different beers in the glass right now out of five. So
yeah.
the entirety of it is 20% is each a different beer. This is also one that we kind of throw the kitchen sink at,
okay.
which is all the heavy hitters. So
such
we got vanilla, three different types of coconut,
okay.
almonds, cocoa nibs,
okay.
and coffee, or house roasted coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So,
how do you add the almonds to the beer?
The almonds actually come to us roasted and sliced.
Okay.
We then put it in a separate vessel and spin through that vessel onto the bright tank, essentially.
Okay. And you do that with each ingredient, like one at a
separate?
Time?
Not separately. Okay. Some go well together. So cocoa nibs and nuts generally go well together because they both take about 2 days of spin time
okay.
in order to get their full extraction,
yeah, yeah.
as it were. Whereas coconut is more of a 3-day process. So I always like to do those on a Friday and come to it later.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I was asking you about that when we were at the warehouse that you might leave this pump on circulating beer for 3 days, like you said, which was kind of
correct.
Astonishing to me.
Yeah.
And you made a statement that I don't think I've ever heard a brewer say. As I hope you don't mind me asking, but you
no,
said, like, Well, the beers are already fairly oxidized, so yeah. we're not worried about O2 pickup too much. You're careful, but yeah. you're not, you know, but the churning of the pump.
Yeah, and I mean, reason, so, yeah, sorry.
I just want to say that there's two things I like about what you said. Mm-hmm. One, your honesty.
Yeah.
But two, they don't taste oxidized to me.
No.
So that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, I mean, that heavy ABV definitely carries a lot of the load, for sure, okay. as well as the heavy, you know, spirit character that those yeah. barrels do bring.
Yeah.
But just in general, like, any barrel-aged beer is going to be oxidized to a certain extent. That's kind of the nature of the game.
Sure.
That's where, you know, that's why high ABV beers do so well. And so a centrifugal pump running, like, everything else is closed, just the slight little amount of oxygen you might get from that little churn.
Yep.
Pretty minimal.
Not something you notice.
Know, yeah. When you have CO2, head pressure on the tank, and everything's going to be fine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We trust the systems that, you know, I've come to believe work. Tri-clamps and gaskets, they're supposed to be airtight. So.
Yeah. Right.
But pump seals fail? So have you ever left one for the weekend then come back on a Monday and been like,
not
tank's empty.
Not yet. Usually there's a little bit
Beardy.
Of a...
Right. That's what I was going to say. Beardy just jinxed you guys.
Now we're screwed.
Yeah, usually...
We're going to email you on Monday.
Beardy. Yeah.
Yeah, usually we'll start hearing some sort of whizzing or whirring and... Time to replace those gaskets because we do put them through some work for sure.
Sure, sure. Now, Garrett, you guys don't have much of a barrel program at Maui, so you're learning about this pretty quick, about what you even, like, what you have in stock here, what you're going to do with it, like all of these.
Sure. So we did have a pretty robust barrel program for a while.
Okay.
Nothing compared to our family here, but, you know, I'd say... Maybe we had 50 or 60 barrels aging in our barrel room. Our barrel room is largely turned over to whiskey barrel aging, so aging spirits.
Okay.
We age whiskey and gin. We have some beer, but you know, especially I think right going into COVID is when we started bleeding down that inventory.
Sure.
Sold our bottling lines. We had a Mahin like anyone else, and we were looking at you know, going into special release cans, and then COVID, you know, presented us a different plan. So we got pretty much rid of all our barrels. Okay. But this is another great point that this brand fits for the barrel aging a bit more, maybe.
Yeah.
And where we benefit is having our own barrels that we're creating to then turn over to special projects to do some really cool stuff.
Are you excited about that, Kyle? Getting some barrels straight from...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. The more barrels we can get, the better. We actually do have some Cuckoo barrels in-house already that we double barrel aged some Mega Devil's Teeth in.
Nice.
Which we got to try earlier.
Yeah. Hope you guys really enjoyed that. Spent some time, 15 months in Heaven Hill barrels, and then made its way to Cuckoo, and it should be coming up on a later release this year.
Okay.
I was super impressed with that beer in that it's often those types of beers need carbonation to kind of help balance themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just shocked at how drinkable that was straight out of the barrel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I could easily... work through a tulip of that as is, essentially just chill it a little bit.
It is really funny. We have been putting on these behind the barrel events for our league and theory members, where we are pulling nails directly from the barrel and giving it to them. And it's funny how oftentimes they say, "Hey, can you just bottle this still
just like that?"
I'd be really into that.
That's how I felt about it too. And you said, "No, we haven't even added adjuncts to it yet. It's nowhere near done."
Yeah.
But so, it was delicious.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. So I'm expecting it to be a pretty amazing beer. Definitely a lot more dessert and pastry forward than what you tasted today.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some left over that will go non-adjuncted probably in next year's calendar.
Okay. Yeah. So
well,
cool.
And I was asking you, like, you haven't been with the company all that long. I mean, a few years. And I wondered, because it's such a large barrel program, I thought, well, they must have brought you in just for that. And that is not how you started here.
No. I actually took a pay cut coming here. I wanted to be at Modern Times. I felt like the brand was really strong.
Yeah.
I, you know, probably felt similar to Garrett when he purchased it. I felt the brand was pretty strong. I had the luck of starting at a barrel aging facility and never have been without barrels in my career in general. Mostly it was mixed fermentation sours. But then coming here, got the opportunity to learn a lot more about the stouts, and yeah, worked my way up to where I am now, which
Look
I'm very
you.
Happy about.
Congrats.
Well, yeah. And you kind of, if I can be honest and a little up front for a minute, like, you kind of had to hang in there too, right? Like, there must have been some moments where you thought you didn't know where this brand was going to go.
For sure. I came on 6 months before COVID.
Okay.
So as far as like a lot of the good times, I didn't get to see them for the most part.
Yeah,
I'm used
to
the adversity that came with modern times.
This is
times.
Normal for you.
Yeah. It's only gotten better for me.
Right.
Actually, during COVID was probably some of my funner times, because what we ended up doing at that point was actually doing 2 releases per month. We actually increased the barrel program more so than any because of all of the...
direct to consumer
sales instead of any bars going open. So we went heavily into the bottles. So we were actually moving more product than we ever had in the past.
Wow.
So it was a fun time.
Yeah, man. Well, good for you. You're doing good work. This beer is absolutely
so
delicious.
Yeah.
Just a candy bar in a glass.
Yeah, it really is.
What is it? 13.6? 13,
yeah, it looks like it.
13.6. Yeah, this also, the smallest amount that this beer was aged in was 22 months.
Okay.
Largest being 34 months.
Oh, wow.
So any time within that time span, those 5 barrels sat.
What's your oldest barrel over there? Like the longest sitting beer in a barrel?
I think right now is... close to 4.5 to 5.
Really?
But I could be wrong on that. I'd have to double check.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
And most of these from the barrel program, you're either getting directly over the counter at a Modern Times, or if you're a member. Is that about right?
Yeah, so draft, and then also the bottle sales go pretty much direct to our membership club, the league, or theory.
And
members.
You're still accepting members? That's still, yeah?
Okay, right now we're in our mid-year membership renewal, so if you guys are interested in the San Diego area or can find a proxy, it would be great for you guys to try and sign up right now. We only offer it 2 times a year. So
do you ship it, or you got to pick it up? You
gotta we do ship throughout California.
Within California.
So Northern California folks can order. Okay.
For an added fee, but there is... opportunities for anybody who wants to try this beer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Garrett, you did it again, man. Another smart move. I'm just following your career, and I'm gonna, when I start making moves, I'm just gonna do what you do.
One of these days, you'll make a smart move, Justin. Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Eventually.
Yeah.
I'm a slow learner, but at least I have someone to learn from.
Yeah. You're moving. We'll see if it gets
smart. By moving,
smart.
I'm just still driving my RV from point A to point B. That's me moving.
Yeah, right.
Right now.
But then I envy you driving around doing podcasts from breweries. That's kind of pretty cool, too.
See, I'm on the 4-day work week.
Yeah, you are on the 4-day work week.
You're still working toward it.
Yeah, totally.
So we can trade notes.
It's my long-term vision.
Yeah, I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'll get there.
Yeah. All right, well, I've said it before. Next time I come to Maui, I need you to fly me somewhere. Because I want to be in your airplane.
Yes.
So I'm going to
next time I'll make sure I'm there.
I'm going to bug you about that. I'll give you notice. How about that?
Yes.
That'll probably help. And then I do want to congratulate you. I just think it's awesome. I'm stoked for Modern Times, too. I think you are a good steward of the brand. I do like to make a lot of fun of things on the show and keep it lighthearted, but I think you're a great steward of this brand, and I'm pretty excited about the future too, so congratulations.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I mean, I couldn't be more happy than to have these two families come together and really leverage what we both do best. So
hell yeah.
We do have a gift here for you.
Oh.
This is in true Kelsey form.
Oh, we didn't talk about the gift that's already around our neck too.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
That's true.
What is this around my neck, Kelsey?
It's a traditional Hawaiian tile that I learned on YouTube when I was living in Haiku and had some downtime out there.
Nice.
No electricity.
She literally was.
What is it made out of?
Twisting them together.
Tea leaves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's Beardy's new beard holder.
Exactly. I can tuck it for when I'm eating.
Yeah.
I can just hold it.
I'm gonna wear it all week.
It's good for it's for good fortune and also.
So this is the last time we did took a picture together in I think 2019 maybe it was. You each get one of your Kraft Ohana shirts.
So folks at home,
I had to dig through all years and years of Garrett's social media Instagram posts.
At home, the Kraft Ohana shirt, if you're listening to this podcast, is it's a shirt with a picture of me and Garrett together inside a heart. with other hearts, and it says Craft Ohana and the Brewing Network. It's my new favorite shirt. I'm never taking it off. I'm going to wear it all week at the conference.
There you go.
Craft Ohana loves the Brewing Network.
Right.
I'm going to wear it at HomebrewCon all week.
Will you come to HomebrewCon with us, the club night on Friday, and
all
wear our shirts?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
This
is
ridiculous.
Will the lay last until Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, when Kelsey wanted to do the shirt, she sends me like, I was on a plane. So I land, and I get like 19 texts basically in a row. I was like, hey, should I do a shirt? Oh,
yes.
I'm overthinking it. Should I do a shirt? No, I'm going to do a shirt.
Do you
have any pictures? I found some, don't worry. And it was like all these things. So she had the whole conversation without me. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
Well, what I love most about the shirt is that it's the most handsome person in craft beer and the second most handsome person in craft beer on one shirt.
I was going to say the most handsome person in craft beer media.
Yeah, okay. Well, no.
It's two number ones.
Don't ask me.
We both get to be number one.
We get to both be number one.
Everybody gets a trophy.
We both get a trophy.
That's even better. Yeah. I always joke that it's, you know, it's me, because I'm a narcissist. Mm-hmm. You and David Walker are the, you know, we're the handsomest.
David Walker is a handsome man.
Sam Calagione is now like a distant fourth.
Yeah.
Is what
oh,
I've
wow.
Done.
Yeah. Okay, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Oh. He's a distant
That's
fourth.
That's tough. That's tough.
Tough crowd.
I don't know. You We should do that on a show next time. Be like, we could rank them.
We should have all of us on one and let the listeners vote.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Slido.
Also will totally cheat and like, yeah, that vote will go however I want it to go. Yeah.
Radio totally. People aren't known for their good looks, Justin. Yeah. So
it's why we do radio.
Yeah, right. Radio. I think it's better that we separate out the actual good-looking people in craft beer and then the communications department.
Oh, my God. Kelsey, this is my favorite gift in the history of the Brewing Network. I swear
Your
to God.
Your favorite free t-shirt
I'm
ever.
Not joking at all. This is so amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
Can I get mine signed?
Yeah. Kelsey would love to sign your shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, we could absolutely do that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I love the heart, though. That's the best
heart. Yeah. It just makes it. We look like an 80s sitcom.
It does, doesn't it? It exactly does. Yeah.
Door.
Yeah. Right. Perfect strangers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We got the girls crop tops. Maybe next year, guys.
I might need a couple extras.
Cammy got one, too.
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
So it's 80s night at Modern Times.
Here, let's hold them up for
one more photo. Well, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us here at Modern Times. It's a Blink 182 show tonight.
Yeah.
So everyone's on their way to that now.
Yes, yes. Enjoy the show. Don't forget to drink MT pills while you're listening to all the small things.
That's what I'd be doing. It's going to be one hell of a sing-along.
What's my age again? What's my age again? Yeah, all the things.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
I remember singing, this was a, what did you call it? It's like where everybody's going to be singing.
Oh, the world's
sing-along.
Largest sing-along. The sing-along.
World's largest
sing-along. Over there. Yeah.
I remember being not 23, thinking that, you know, nobody likes when you're 23. Like, that was old.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so that's a long time ago.
Now it's a bunch of 40-year-olds over there singing nobody likes when you're 23.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But now they mean it.
Now they actually mean it.
Totally.
Well, thanks to our sponsors. Don't forget to go to More Beer, morebeer.com, williamsbrewing.com, 21st Amendment, 21st Amendment, one of our wonderful sponsors who makes just absolutely great beer. Beersmith Brewing Software, go to beersmith.com, get your free 21-day trial. And thank you so much to Modern Times for hosting us here. I'm glad you got a home back in San Diego, man.
It's great.
Cool.
Yeah. It's great to be back. Yeah.
Keep making good beer. You're listening to The Session. Our next stop is White Labs. We'll be there in just about 2 days. We're doing our Brewing Network 18th anniversary party.
Oh, wow.
I'm finally legal-ish. We're doing a little party at White Labs.
Legal for what?
Just to smoke, I guess.
To go to actual jail?
Yeah, now I can go to jail. We're doing our Brewing Network party there, and then, of course, the Homebrew Conference. We've got a bunch of shows that we're going to post from you from the Justin and the Beard Tour, the Summer Lager Tour. We've dubbed it. We even started today with a lager. Every place is brewing great lagers now,
right?
So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. It's nice to be right every now and again.
What did you say his new tagline is? I told you
I told you so.
I told you so. Yeah.
I told you so. Lager.
Right. I fucking told you so. All right, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time here on The Session. Take care of yourselves and your beer. Cheers.
Aloha. Oh, Kelsey didn't get to do her toast.
We call them odes. Normally done from standing on a bar, but that's not safe. So we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Miss Kelsey.
All right.
I'm ready. Okay, I'm so ready for this.
Everyone have their drink in their hand, please.
Yeah.
All right. This is a toast to Justin and Beardy. We're so happy to host you and the infamous RV. As pioneers of beer podcasts, every episode you slay. Your pop stars to home brewers. Justin's our beer-once. And hopefully we can get JP out of the house someday. Now let us drink some good brewskis and have us some fun. Sorry, we don't have any Pale 31. Let's raise up our glasses and toast these two as we cheers in Hawaiian. Cheers!
Nice. Oh my gosh, Kelsey, you're amazing.
Well done, Kelsey.
Oh, love you guys. Thanks for coming.